with the third pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Trey Lance, quarterback, North Dakota State.
That's great, baby.
Try to do what's right and not be affected by any of that. And it's just been interesting to watch, and sure glad that it's over. I'm glad that we got our guy. I'm glad we feel so good about it. And I'm just pumped to get him here.
All right, we are joined by Jeff Kolpak of the Forum Communications in Fargo. Anyone who's paid attention, the 49ers just drafted their future quarterback out of North Dakota State, which is being deemed QBU. Jeff, what's going on, buddy?
Well, just finished a spring football season, Javier, and thankfully it's over, because football should not be played in the spring with FCS, canceling their, postponing their season from the fall to the spring, and currently going through the playoffs. North Dakota State lost in the quarterfinals last Sunday. They played on a Sunday at Sam Houston. And, there's a reason football shouldn't be played in the spring in America, because, you know, the XFL and all those leagues didn't work because we don't care about football in the spring. It's not the season. So thankfully, it'll be back in the fall.
Yeah, absolutely. Thankfully, we're just getting back to normal. You know, the draft happened a couple days ago in Cleveland. We saw the crowds there, North Dakota. I did not get to watch any of the game. Did you guys have fans in attendance? How'd that work out?
Yeah, it was actually for the first time this season, it felt like a real football game. With NCAA opened up the playoffs to 50% capacity. There probably was more than that at Sam Houston.
Okay.
And NDSU had a nice contingent. They had a few hundred there, and Sam Houston had it was a good atmosphere. It felt like a playoff atmosphere. But that being said, you know, there's nothing like playoffs in November and December. You know, it just feels more natural.
Yeah, nothing like the cold weather football, and you guys play in North Dakota State in the dome. But you guys, you know, have done well the last couple of years. So well that you've had two quarterbacks drafted in the top five in the last, what, seven, eight seasons now. First Carson Wentz, and now Trey Lance, who is selected third overall to the 49ers. Most 49er fans are, you know, I myself was thinking Justin Fields at three. There were the media pundits who swore it was Mac Jones at three. Talk to us about Trey Lance. What is he going to bring to the table? You know, coming from an FCS school, the transition from FCS to the NFC West, how big of a transition do you think that's going to be for Trey?
Yeah, that's the question. And I think certainly more than Carson in 2016, there's a more of a mysterious factor to Trey.
Yeah.
Being that he's just 20 years old. I mean, he couldn't even go out and have a beer at a local bar after the draft. I mean, he's not old enough. I mean, how often does that happen with guys in the first round, especially quarterbacks? So Carson was more established. He was a fifth-year senior when he got drafted, and just had a more of a maturity to him, obviously. Trey, the upside, it could be amazing, but it could not be too. I mean, there's a certain element of, we don't know what we're going to get yet. Now, physically, the guy's a freak show. I mean, he's 6'4", 227. He'll be 235, I think, by the time he gets really fully developed here. Strong arm, very smart. I mean, he's a very smart kid. Carson is very smart. Carson was a 4.0 and never got a B in his life. And Trey is one of those all-academic guys. That's what NDSU loved about him. As a redshirt freshman, they handed the keys to him. And he read defenses. He changed plays at the line of scrimmage. He ran a pro-style offense. I think that appealed to the 49ers, that they don't have to teach those things to him. He's already, you know, been doing that. Granted, just a year, but he did it quite well. I mean, they went 16-0. So he's a great kid, man. It's too bad I don't get to cover him for three more years, you know, because I like cover him. I like the kid. I like his family. and just, you know, 1 year of starting and gone. So that's kind of a, it's just bizarre, isn't it? I mean, yeah. a kid going that early from FCS.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And it's, you know, that was part of my evaluation. It's like FCS 1 year, would the 49ers really take that risk? And they did. You know, they traded all the way up to three to get him. And that's why my whole, pre-draft eval was really Justin Fields and Kyle Shanahan's connection with him, you know, going while a way back, and of course the John Beck stuff. You spoke about his family and the person. Kyle Shanahan spoke about that as well. What is it about Trey that draws people to him? You know, I've seen he does a lot of social justice work. You know, he does a lot of just in the community type things. What is it about Trey that, you know, makes him so likable? Like, he just seems like a really just down-to-earth 20-year-old kid just living his dream, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Javier, he's very grounded. I mean, his parents, Carlton was a really good football player himself. He participated in the NFL Combine. He didn't make the league. I think he played in the CFL maybe for a year.
Uh-huh.
He played at Southwest Minnesota State, which is in Marshall, Minnesota, and stayed there. His wife, Angie, was a former volleyball player and a good athlete. So the pedigree is certainly there. I mean, Carlton and Angie and their youngest son, Bryce, is going to be at North Dakota State next year as a true freshman receiver. And he may play right away. I mean, he's 6'3 or so, and I think he'll have a pretty good career. Hopefully with Trey, you know, he was such a likable kid here. And he's not afraid to be a leader. I mean, as a young kid, he wasn't afraid to put himself out there and be a leader, both on and off the field. I think that appealed to his teammates. And, you know, as a beat guy, Javier, you kind of hear behind the scenes if somebody's just kind of a, you know, not likable or likable. And I never heard a negative word from teammates or former teammates about Trey. And so that's obviously a good sign. And the 49ers obviously have done their homework. I mean, if Trey was a miserable human being as a teammate, there's no way that you take him at three. You just don't do that in this day and age. And I don't care how good he is. So, but the NFL is different. It's a business, right? He's no longer Trey Lance, NFL prospect, good college football player, great student. Now it's a business, man. Now it's a $34 million business.
So, yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if that'll change him or not.
So, you know, speaking of with the NFL, how do you think he'll adapt to becoming the face of one of the biggest sports franchises in the league? You know, the 49ers are a big, big brand, you know, going from North Dakota State to San Francisco. When the Niners are winning ball games, they are a primetime team at all times. They're in the spotlight. You know, they were just in the Super Bowl two years ago. And pretty much, in my world, the 49ers kind of dominated the headlines with the Jimmy Garoppolo stuff, all the injuries that they had. How do you think he's going to handle that transition from going from the small school, but kind of a big school, because you guys are like the Alabama of the FCS. How do you think he's going to handle that transition from North Dakota State, you know, the FCS school, to, hey, this is one of the bigger brands in football when they're humming?
Well, I guess I'll answer that question from the other aspect. There's nothing about him that says he won't handle it. And there's nothing about his background, even though, albeit it's a short sample size, that he handled the NDSU is pretty unique in FCS. It's an FBS program. I mean, it should be in the Mountain West with the Boise States and Colorado States and Fresno's of the world. They just announced a $40 million indoor practice facility that they're building. They play in a dome. There's many media outlets. There's probably, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 media outlets that cover them on a regular basis. So, you know, every time I go out of town to cover them, I'm not the only one, that's for sure. I mean, our company, we take a company plane everywhere to follow this team. And, you know, so that doesn't happen very often, if at all, in college football. So, he's used to the attention, and there's no pro franchise here. I mean, the closest pro franchise in anything is Minneapolis with the Vikings, the Timberwolves, the Wild, and those teams. So this, in essence, is the it's the pro football team, if you will, in this area, in this state, and in a region. So he's used to being in the spotlight of a team and a program. So, you know, this is just another, this obviously is a bigger step up. And I'll add this too. You know, they've won titles here. They won 8 and 9 before getting eliminated last weekend, national titles. What a great situation for the young man, because I saw photos when he's out in San Fran looking at the trophies. And so you're walking into a franchise that has this reputation and this tradition. And, you know, it could have been worse. You could have gone to the Jets or somebody like that where, you know, it's been Loserville USA. So yeah. I'm happy for him, the 49. I can't think of a better situation.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing with, you know, with any of the quarterbacks that would have been taken at 3. You're going into a good situation. You have a playoff roster. You have one of the premier head coaches in the league. And, you know, in his situation, he's not going to be asked to play right away. And, you know, that's what the front office says. Do you think he'd be ready to start day one? Week one, do you think he can come in and win that job? I mean, just his measurables are off the charts. His game film is pretty flawless. By all accounts, he's very, very smart. He'd be able to understand the concepts that Kyle Shanahan is running. Do you think he has a shot to win this job?
No, I don't think so. I think it's Jimmy Garoppolo's. I think that's why you draft a 20-year-old, because you have a guy already there who can help him learn the ropes. And he just hasn't seen a lot of pictures at the line of scrimmage. I mean, and I'll add this too. He played in 2019 in the 16-0 season. He played behind an offensive line that was like good Big Ten quality. The left tackle, Dylan Radins, just went high in the draft. The right guard, Zach Johnson's on the Packers practice squad. The other three guys are really good. The right tackle is probably going to get a look at Pro Football next year. So he hardly got touched. I mean, he'd go back to pass, and people could go to the concession stand by the time, you know, he's still back there looking at his receivers. So he has the ability for the progression, because he had time. I mean, one's not open, two's up, okay, three, maybe four, let's go here. But he had a great offensive line. Now, you know, will that change in the NFL? We'll see how he handles.
With, you mentioned Dylan Radunz. That's another 49er connection. I spoke to Joe Staley back in October, yeah. And he said he was working out with Dylan Radunz. Is it Radunz or Radunz?
Radunz.
And he spoke pretty highly of him. I just wanted to figure out if you had, this is a 49er podcast. What impact, if any at all, did Joe Staley have on Dylan? Because I got to watch him at the Senior Bowl, and wow. Wow, because the kid can play guard and tackle. What do you think his role will be in the NFL as well?
Well, first of all, when you have a guy like Joe Staley being a mentor, I mean, can you think of anything better as an offensive lineman?
No.
And here's a kid. He's like Trey Lance. I mean, he's from a small town in Minnesota, Becker, Minnesota, overlooked by the Gophers. Trey Lance wanted to go to the Gophers as a quarterback. They wanted him as a safety, and he said, thanks, but no thanks. As Angie, I think, that's a great quote. She said, yeah, that hurt for about a half hour. And then they moved on from the Gophers. And Radunz was the same way. The Bison, if the Gophers don't take them, NDSU is the next best option up in the upper Midwest here in North Dakota, Minnesota. Billy Turner is a starting offensive lineman for Green Bay.
Yeah.
And that in 2011, I couldn't believe in the recruiting class of 2011 that the Gophers didn't take Billy Turner. He comes up to Fargo. I go to the first day of practice and I look at him. I go, how in the hell did you get this guy? I'm talking to the head coach. He goes, yeah, they didn't want him. He goes, unbelievable, right? I go, well, yeah. And Billy Turner was, you know, his dad played for the Vikings. His brother was a receiver for Northern Iowa. And you talk about pedigree. That's the all-time recruiting failure in Gopher history. Trey Lance might be next. I know PJ Fleck came up to Fargo Moorhead for a speaking engagement. And I think one of his assistants or his administrative assistants said, okay, here's the deal. No questions about Trey Lance. Okay. All right. You know, obviously that PJ Fleck has heard that, you know, too many times. So, you know, Trey's, and the other point I like to make too is, he has had a really good quarterback coach at North Dakota State. A guy named Randy Hedberg, who was in the league and was part of the Tampa Bay's franchise when it first got going.
Yeah.
1977-78. Randy, he played for the Raiders for a little bit, a cup of coffee. And Randy is a really good quarterback coach. I mean, he developed Carson. And don't forget about Easton Stick. He was a fifth-round draft choice of the Chargers. And he's still around the league. And Now you got Trey. There's a photo of those three working out in California. And I think NDSU, whenever they go on a recruiting visit to some quarterback somewhere, all Hedberg has to do is pull out this photo of the three together going, yeah, I think we do okay here.
Yeah, so what is it about North Dakota State and this program with quarterbacks? Just, you know, that's three guys, you know, that have gone in the last, you know, 6-7 years. And all, you know, Easton Stick was a guy I liked a lot. I thought the Niners would take a look at him as well last draft. Obviously they did not, but you know, you're still getting drafted. What is it? What's with the program that they're developing these quarterbacks, or they're getting them so pro ready? Is it because they're calling plays in the huddle? You know, from what I had read that the OC or the just this offense has a really long play calls. Is that true? What's the dynamic with their offense?
Yeah, it's 100% true. They put a lot on the quarterback's plate. You know, the quarterback in a pro-style offense, you're in the huddle, and you're not sitting there in the shotgun looking over to the sideline and having, you know, the OC relate the play onto the field. It's the quarterback that goes up the line of scrimmage, and he's the one that makes the check. He's the one that changes the play. He's the one that looks over the coverages and decides, okay, I need to change this pass protection, or change this route, or change this play. And so essentially you have a mini offensive coordinator as your quarterback under center. And that appeals to the pro guys. You know, they don't have to teach that. It's already been ingrained in them. So, you know, you have that element. Mm-hmm. And there's an element of luck too. Carson Wentz was hurt his junior year in high school. Uh-huh. Nobody predicted how he developed. I mean, he came to Fargo as a 6'5", I don't know, skinny kid from Bismarck with a great arm. And they develop him. They have a really good strength and conditioning coach here. And here's the other thing about Carson. He sat for 3 years. I mean, he was behind Brock. He redshirted. Then he was behind a guy named Brock Jensen, who played at the CFL for a while, uh-huh, for 2 years. And then Carson didn't start till his junior year. Easton came on. They knew he was going to be the guy. They out-recruited Rutgers and a bunch of other FBS schools for Easton. And Trey, again, I mean, there was nothing about, you know, the Big Ten stayed away, and Boise offered him late, like in the last week of recruiting, but it was too late for them. And NDSU and Randy Hedberg developed him. He took him. He worked with his footwork. And here's the other thing. Talk about luck. I remember when Trey was a true freshman, I looked at him, I go, God, this guy looks like he's 15 years old. I mean, is he old enough even to be in college? And that's what I mean. I think he's still going to develop physically, I swear.
Yeah.
I mean, he came here, I don't know, I think he grew an inch and gained an incredible amount of lean muscle mass.
And yeah.
He's, like I say, he's now 220. I think he's going to be 235. He still looks like a kid to me. He still looks like a boy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even think he's a man yet. I mean, just wait for a couple of years. That upside, I think, really appealed to the 49ers.
Yeah, so the Niners had their pro day. I don't know if you were there at all, but do you have any idea what his interactions were like with Kyle and the 49ers, or did you ever get a sense that the 49ers were in on Trey and that would be the pick at three?
Well, I know NDSU in their athletic Twitter page or their football Twitter page posted this photo, or this video of after Trey got done with one of the pro day workouts with Shanahan, just give him the big old bear hug and high five, and they go, we had to wait till after the draft to post this. Well, I mean, I'm like, okay, they all do that, right? I mean, that's not a sign, but obviously there's a connection there.
Yeah.
And you know, like when Carson was going through his pro day, you know, the Philadelphia GM, the owner, was here. They took him out to dinner. I mean, they were on him from the get go. So we kind of knew the Eagles were in on Carson. But,
gosh,
yeah, San Fran, I'll admit, I was a bit surprised to hear up number three, because, you know, if you trust these draft guys, I don't know how that Jones information got out there, but somebody got played like a fiddle with that.
Yeah. You know? So Kyle Shanahan spoke about that. He said, you know, he let the echo chamber just kind of do its thing. And, you know, I'm a really big 49er fan. And I listen to every press conference. There was nothing that ever told me that Kyle Shanahan wanted to go with a guy like Mac Jones, because he kept pointing at the athlete. He kept pointing at how these kids from high school, they're the best athletes playing quarterback. You know, he's looking for the Drew Brees that can move like Lamar Jackson. And a lot of bigger folks, you know, just kind of focus on that Drew Brees part. It's like, hey, did we forget about the Lamar Jackson part here? So automatically my brain goes to Lance and Fields. And then throughout the season, if you watch any 49ers game, after the Bills drubbing of the 49ers, he spoke again. He literally said the same exact thing about the athletes playing quarterback, and he got one. And I think that's the scary part for the NFC West. You know, with Trey, you know, the upside is there. You know, how do you project him in the NFL? You know, do you see him starting off more as the, I guess, Lamar type, you know, being more of a runner initially? Or do you think he's just going to be back there getting the play action pass and start dropping balls all over the place?
Yeah, I think one thing the 49ers need to do is, and NDSU coaches try to do this too, but when he took off running, he was looking for guys to run over.
Oh, God.
Like it was a hobby.
Yeah.
And the NDSU coaches said, no, just step out of bounds. And I think there was a little tussle there, you know, good natured, but maybe not good natured. I don't know. So he'll need to learn in the NFL, especially that. I mean, he's fast. He outran James Madison, which is a really fast FCS team.
Yeah, it is.
And he was the fastest guy in the field that day in that title game. He needs to step out of bounds. I mean, getting that extra 2 yards after a first down, it might be something that he likes to do. But if I were Kyle Shanahan, I'd say, you do that again, Trey. And we're going to have a couple words, and I'm going to be right, and you just shut up.
Yeah.
Step out of bounds.
Absolutely. The Niners have been, well, I know I have, you know, PTSD from Jimmy Garoppolo trying to run over a linebacker, and unfortunately he tears his ACL. Yeah. So, yeah, those, you know, that's the biggest thing with some of these guys. Make sure you slide or get down or get out or get out of bounds. You know, Russell Wilson has made a career of, you know, kind of faking the slide and keep going, or just kind of faking going out of bounds and keep going, but he does pretty well to avoid some hits outside the pocket. Before we get you out of here, you know, we spoke about all the good stuff with Trey. What are some of his weaknesses? What do you think he's going to have to improve on when he gets to the NFL?
Yeah, well, just that. I think he's got to scale back the bravado a little bit when he gets out of the pocket and runs. I think that's one thing. And I think it's just development. I think it's just generally growing up and being an NFL man. Everything else is there. It's proven it's there. It's been a small sample size. And so I think being behind Garoppolo is a great thing for him and learning. And I have questions whether how he's going to handle the pocket when he faces a team that has, you know, a massive pass rush. He never really had that in college, like I said, because he has such a great offensive line.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how he handles that. I think he'll be fine, but until we see it, until he gets in a game where he gets sacked 3, 4, 5 times.
Yeah.
I mean, that never happened in college. And so we'll see how he handles that. I think it'll be fine, but, you know, again, until we see it, I guess you can just talk about it and wonder about it. But you know, overall, like I said, he's a great kid. He's smart. He's got everything. I see why the 49ers drafted him. You know, sometimes you have to take risks in life, right? And
yeah,
the 49ers took a little risk on this in that he is not the 4-year proven guy, but hopefully it'll pan out. I like the kid, you know, I really like the kid and hope he does well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and if we are to trust Kyle Shanahan, we can hopefully expect to get, you know, the most out of Trey. You know, he's maximized pretty much every quarterback he's had. So hopefully he can get a lot out of Trey, and then Trey can provide a little bit more. You know, the 49ers are looking for a quarterback who can elevate those X's and O's, not just, you know, run them. And I think Trey fits that mold for the 49ers. Well, Jeff, I thank you so much for your time today. If you want to, let the folks know where they can find your work, anything on Twitter, Instagram, whatever else you're doing for the Bison and anything else going on in Fargo.
Yeah, we're at inform.com. That's inform.com. That's our website, our communications newspaper, TV website. And yeah, the Fargo FGO Sports Writer is my Twitter, so anytime. I answer all questions.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
All right. You bet, Javier. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Thank you.